Have you ever been in a courthouse? Have you ever had to stand before the judge in a courthouse? Whether you are guilty of the crime before you or innocent, and maybe you didn't even commit anything, but you're standing before the judge. I hope you haven't had to do that, and I hope you never have to do that. But I will tell you, it's a very nerve-wracking experience. You stand before a man who has power and authority over you. He has the power to sentence you. He can sentence you to a slap on the wrist, or he can sentence you to years in prison. He can pronounce you innocent, or he can pronounce you guilty. He has that much power, that judge that sits up on that throne, it's not called a throne, bench. He has that much power. And when you stand before the judge, there's many things that go before your mind as the judge speaks to you. And I think the biggest thing that goes through the mind is this a fair and just judge? Has he had a good morning? Has he had his cup of coffee? Is he in a good mood? But above all, is he just? Because if he's not just, the next number of years you might live can hang in his decision, whatever he hands down. You might never have to stand before a judge in a courtroom, and I hope you don't, but you will have to stand before the greatest, most almighty, and all-powerful judge of all time. Every one of us will have to stand before him, for God is the just judge. And that's the thing that's good. We are guaranteed God is just. We don't have to wonder if he's having a good day. We don't have to wonder if he likes us or if he likes our friends that we hang out with, because God is just. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, declares these words. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. Wow, if I have to stand before anybody, I want to stand before the Almighty God, because he's faithful and just and he does what is right. But I would like to take a look at what it really means to serve a just God this morning. God is just means that he is a perfect judge. He's a perfect judge because he has all authority to be the judge. He can judge the entire world because he has authority over the world. We looked at his authority and his power in the first message of the series on God is. For he created the world. And as the one who created the universe, he is the one we will all have to stand before. You know, when you go to work, it's one thing to go to work and have an employee say to you, you need to do this job this way. You need to put this Kleenex box right here. That's what you need to do. That fellow employee, you can take his advice or not. I can say, well, that's what Joe says, but really, I like it down there. But if the owner comes along and the owner says, you need to put the Kleenex box right here. That's what I would like. It's a good thing to go, I best put that Kleenex box right there, because that's the person that owns the company, who created the company. They have the authority to get rid of you. Where the other employee, he can go and whine to the boss and say, Scott didn't put the Kleenex box where it should be. And then the owner can come and say something, and then you'll do what you're told to do. God is the creator of all things. But not only is he a perfect judge and that has authority to be our judge, he also has the power to carry out the judgments he pronounces. When we go before the court and we stand before that judge and he says, Scott, I'm going to sentence you to 2 years less a day because you dropped your Kleenex on the sidewalk instead of putting it in the garbage can, he can sentence me to that. But I have the right to appeal it, and he has no authority. Because I can appeal it to a higher court, and the higher court says, no, Scott, we're just going to give you 10 hours of community work picking up litter, because you litter. You see, he doesn't have the power or the authority to carry out the judgment that he has pronounced. But as the perfect judge, nothing can stop God's plan. Nothing can stop what God's judgment and what God says. We see it written in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 27. For the Lord Almighty has purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? See, there's nothing that can be done when God pronounces something. He is the top authority. We can't appeal to who? I mean, I can't go to Kathy and say, look, God sends me God's placed this judgment. Can you change it? My wife can't do anything about it. God is the highest authority, but he is also just. As God is a perfect judge, his justice never changes from moment to moment, or from year to year, or century to century. His justice is the same. You see, if I had murdered back in 2 BC, or let's go 100 AD, if I had murdered back in 100 AD, God's judgment for murder in 100 AD is the same as God's judgment for murder in 2018 AD. The penalty for sin is death, separation from God. The judgment is the same. God's judgment doesn't change from day to day. We don't have to worry about what the sentence might be today or what it might be now. We've seen that in our courts where judgments have changed. One person gets a slap on the wrist, another person gets a heavy fine or even prison time for the same thing. But with God, he's a just judge. Everything's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His justice never changes. But also as a perfect judge, he's not discriminatory. He doesn't say, because you're this color or you're this nationality, this is the judgment. He doesn't say, because you're a wealthy landowner or a high-class businessman, this is your judgment, but because you're poor and you're a street person, this is your judgment. No, God is just, and his justice is the same for each one of us. Acts 10:34 reveals, then Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. God does not show favoritism. As a perfect judge, God cannot be manipulated by money, by fear, by personality, by power, or by anything else. God cannot be manipulated. God does not show favoritism. He doesn't say, oh, Scott, I like your wife Kathy better than you, so the penalty for your sin is harsher than for hers. No, God doesn't show favoritism. As God is just, he has all the incredible qualities which make him the most perfect judge we could ever ask for. If I have to stand before a judge, I would stand before him. That would be my pick. That would be my choice. If I was even in a court of law and I was chosen, they said you can choose to stand before God or you can choose to stand before man, I would choose to stand before God because he is just and not swayed by anything. God is a just and perfect judge, and we will all stand before him one day. But I think if we are honest here, there are times when we question if God is really as just as we like to think he is. I mean, think about it. How many know somebody who has sinned greatly, though there is no degree of sin, and seems to get away with it? In fact, they seem to even thrive, and then things seem to be good, you know? You do everything right, and you're just barely making it, and this person does everything that's illegal, and they're just doing wonders and doing fine. I sort of wonder if we don't think maybe God's not as just as we think. But Paul wrote in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow corn, you're not going to get carrots. If you sow injustice and evil, you can sure you will reap from it. You may have seen the news report this past week about Whitey Bulger. He was a notorious gangster, a mob boss in the States. He's involved in racketeering, money laundering, extortion, drugs, weapons, believed of being connected with 19 murders, and there's probably a whole host of other things he's done. And you know, he lived as a free man until June the 22nd, 2011, when at the age of 81 years old, he was arrested. And so he went to court, and 2 years later, in June, I think it was, of 2013, he was sentenced. He was found guilty, and he was sentenced. He was sentenced to two consecutive life sentences, which means at 83, he probably was not going to see the outside of a prison ever again. Yet, on October the 30th, 2018, he was transferred to a new prison. And the day he arrived at the new prison, he was murdered. In fact, there's speculation that his brother might have had something to do with the murder. Listen to Proverbs 11:21. Be sure of this. The wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. The wicked will not go unpunished. That's the word of God. If, and sometimes it might seem that the wicked are going unpunished. Sometimes we don't know what's happening in the bigger picture, but sometimes it seems that they're not going, getting, being punished. But if God is delaying his judgment, it is because he desires all to come to know him. As God is a just God, he will continually give opportunity for people to repent, to receive his forgiveness. He will constantly do that until he knows there is no other hope. Think about it. If God was not patient with his judgment, if he carried it out as quick as we think he should, how many think that the punishment, the judgment, should be carried out a little faster sometimes? Well, if we thought that, there wouldn't be, if he carried it out as fast as we think we should, none of us would be here today, because he would have carried out his judgment against us. God is just, and that means there will be judgment for sin. Sometimes the judgment will be in life, this life, here and now. As we read throughout the Bible, many times we see the judgment upon people and upon the nations right then and now for their wickedness and for their evil. Just look at the nation of Israel and how many times God brought judgment against them right then and there. Look at Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 when they lied to the Holy Spirit. God brought judgment right then and there. But even if God doesn't bring judgment right then and there, there will be a judgment. There is a final judgment, and we read about it in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. God is just, which means there will be a day when we all stand before him and have to give an account. As a just God, there has to be justice for the sins that are committed. And as we know, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, and that's why we're going to have communion after this. Jesus paid that penalty for our sin. And if we have not accepted what Jesus did, if we don't accept that Jesus paid the penalty and believe that, then our names will not be written in the book of life. And those who are not written in names who are not written in the book of life will be justly separated from God for all of eternity. They will suffer for eternity. There is one more judgment seat, which is for us as believers. We will have to stand before that judgment seat, and it is the judgment seat of Christ. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." See, we have to stand before Christ. God says he wants to judge us before Christ on what we've done while we were Christians. After you come to know Jesus, what have you done with your life? And we stand before Christ. And that is why Paul's instructions are these, written in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 10 to 15. "By the grace of God, God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful on how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stone, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame." We need to be clear on this. As we stand before God, we will be declared righteous because Jesus paid the price for our sin. We're not being judged for our sins at this point in time when we're standing before Christ. We are declared righteous already. All our sins are under the shed blood of Jesus. Our names are written in the book of life so that we will be welcomed into eternal life in the presence of God. That's not what this judgment seat of Christ is. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it is to be judged for what we have done in our lives as Christians. He will want to know what we did with the gifts and the talents and the blessings that he poured out upon us. What did we do with them? Did we help our neighbors, the widow, the poor, the needy? Did we use what God has given to us to help our brothers and sisters? Or did we hide it or hoard our blessings? Jesus even said that on the day of judgment, of this judgment, we will have to give an account of every careless word we have spoken. Everything we have done will be tested. And some will be things of gold and silver and precious stones. And those things, when we've helped the poor or the needy, or we've gone to someone who's sick and said, "How are you doing? Can I bring you some soup?" Or we've gone to somebody in prison and said, "You know what? I just want to visit you. I just want you to know that I'm here for you." Those things are of gold and silver and precious stone. Those things that we've done in the name of Jesus, a cup of cold water. Or there are those things that are of hay and straw and wood. Those things where we might have just thrown money at something. Or we've built a nice home for ourselves, and we've only invited in those who could pay us back and said, "Come and have a meal with me, because I know you'll invite me to have a meal with you." You know, I just saw Heather in the other room there, and she made me think of Cassidy. Right now, Cassidy's building with gold and silver and precious stone. Not to say we have to go on a mission trip to do that. We can build with gold and precious silver right here in Cache Creek and Ashcroft. We can do that. Everything we have done will be tested. Will it burn up as wood, hay, and straw, or stand solid as gold and silver and precious stone? Will we hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here is your reward. Or will everything be burned up and we will just sort of squeak through the door and make it into heaven? Because we will be in heaven. And the easy thing is to say, well, I'm not really concerned about the reward, so I don't have to worry about it. It's our King of Kings that we serve. God is just, which means he has given us all we need to stand tall on the day of judgment. He has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven and to be made right with him. This means our names are written in the book of life when we accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And so when we go before the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment seat, and God says, Scott Chadwick, oh, your name's written in the book of life. Your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Come on in. And as a just God, he has blessed us with many talents, many gifts to share with people and with our neighbors. God has given us all we need to stand before Jesus and to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. God is the perfect judge. And as Christians, we don't have to live in fear because he's given us all that we need. All that we need. He's given us salvation through Jesus. He's given us all we need to do the good works so his kingdom will grow. God is just. Amen? We're going to go into communion for this, right? And, you know, it's exciting. As we look at a just God, that is the reason we take communion. If God wasn't just, he wouldn't have even sent his son Jesus to die for him. But because he's just, he sent his son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven and be part of his family.